proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And liberty is a wonderful thing. And we get our title to the radio program from the preamble to the Constitution, where it talks about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's us and our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So it's good to be here today, and good to see Dave Blanks and my son Noah. He's in here. How are you, Dave?
Excellent. Good. I hope you are too, Wayne.
Yes, I'm fine.
Good.
And been looking forward to getting back. It's not as pretty as it was last week.
No.
A lot of the leaves are gone now.
Yeah.
I noticed this morning there's one tree behind our house that is so pretty all the time and full, and I measure how close winter is by how many leaves are gone off of it.
How many are gone?
This morning, all of them are gone after the rain and the wind.
Muncie was saying earlier today that he has noticed a lot of squirrels, and I don't know if you've heard that idea about predicting the winter. Squirrels building their nest higher in trees. If they build them low, it's going to be bad. If they build them high, it's not going to be that bad. And he's noticed a bunch of high nests.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't noticed that.
Well, me neither.
Yeah.
So take that for what it is. But all the leaves are off your tree, and the woolly worm saw whatever he saw, his shadow.
I know.
Yeah, well, he predicted a pretty severe one.
It's coming. That's all right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, last week I talked about the rally in King, North Carolina for the Christian flag. Talked about that a couple of times now. We went on Saturday, and it was great. I wish everybody could have been there.
Big turnout.
Huge turnout. Over 5,000 people came out, marched for about a mile, went up Main Street and went down to the memorial. There's a huge amphitheater down there. I didn't know all this. I'd never been there before.
King,
North Carolina. The headlines was the population doubled for a day. And I think they have about 5,000-6,000 residents. And so there's 5,000 there. And it was just a huge turnout. It was great. It was a highlight in my ministry to get to go to something like that and be involved in something like that. Maybe next week I can get some audio. I really like to play part of what David Gibbs III had to say. He's from the Christian Law Association, and it was really good. I mean, you get 5,000 people, and it was not a boring get-together. It was exciting.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
We did. We had a real good time. And we're going to get into the program today. I'll say a little bit more about that probably in just a little bit, but I'm going to do our proverb for today out of Proverbs chapter number 26. Today is October the 26th, and we always encourage our listeners to read a proverb a day along with us. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That's one for each day of the month. And today being October 26th, we're going to read out of Proverbs chapter number 26. I've actually got two verses that I'm going to read today. I was studying about this, and I was reading, you know, introduction to the chapters. Proverbs chapter number 26, you know, most Bibles up at the very top has just a little summary of what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking this morning, and in Proverbs chapter 26, my Bible, it just says, Proverbs chapter 26, it says, of fools, sluggards, and busybodies. And I was reading it, and that is what it's about. It's first 13, 14 verses are about fools, and then there's a part about sluggards, and then there's a part about busybodies. And so that's what it's about. The verses I'm going to read today is verses 11 and 12, and it pertains to foolish people. And I talked about this last week, and in the Bible, a foolish person is a evil person. It's a person that wants to live their life outside of the influence of God. The Bible says in Psalms 14:1 that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So I'm going to read two verses this morning and make just a few comments, and then we'll get on with it. But verse 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Verse 12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And verses 11 and 12, I was thinking about I don't mean this the way it sounds, but this got me thinking about the elections coming up, the fools and the busybodies and the sluggards and all of that.
Well, it's kind of a funny transition.
Yeah, but and it's coming up soon.
It is. And, well, November 2nd,
yes,
right?
And I'm so thankful, you know, the signs, and it's all, it's got to be done, you know, and it's good that everybody tries to get their opinion, their voice heard, their ideas out there, but after a while, it just becomes so monotonous, and, you know, a lot of people, it just turns them so off, they just say, oh, what's the use? I don't even want to go vote. They're all the same. There's no difference, and so that got me, these verses got me thinking about the election coming up and the mentality of people involved. But verse 11 said, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's really a gross picture to get in your mind. But everybody knows what that's talking about, as a dog returneth to his vomit. So a fool returneth to his folly. And I was coming into town this morning. I pulled up behind a car, and they had a bumper sticker, had George W. Bush on it, you know, and he, and the phrase said, "Miss me yet?" And I got to thinking about this. Who would want to go back to that? I don't think he was the very best thing for our country. I think in our country, a lot of times we just change, and I've talked about this many times, from the D to the R to the D, and back and forth. But we continually return to our folly. That's not what we want to return to. I would agree that the Republicans, by and large, got us into a great big financial mess and increased government and spending. And, well, in the past couple of years, they've added more on top of that with the new administration and everything. But that's not what we need to return to. It's foolish to keep returning to the same thing over and over again. That's not helping us. As a pastor, I would say, and as a Christian, I'd say what we need is a return to God. That would help us more than anything in our country. But I thought about that. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And we do need to do some returning in our country, but we need to be real careful what we return to and not just return to the same old thing. And I seen a political cartoon in the Winston-Salem Journal this morning, and it had Ma and Pa Kettle. Used to be, I don't know if that was a TV show or, I don't know, somebody'd have to, you know, Dave?
I'll try to look it up. No, I'm not 100% certain.
It's not of utmost importance, but everybody probably knows what I'm talking about. Had the old lady and the old man, and he's got the pitchfork, and they're standing out there in front of the farm.
Oh, American Gothic, the picture?
Maybe so, yeah. I don't know where that comes from, but that's what it was. And it said in the caption, "We're taking America back." And the man had a Tea Party button on, and then underneath that it said, "Back 100 years." Well, there's a lot of things from 100 years ago that we need to get back to. And so I thought that was interesting. And then verse 12 said, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him." And somebody that's very conceited, to be wise in a person's own conceit means to think very highly of one's own opinion or notion, idea that they have. I'm amazed how many in the political world still do not get what this past few years in our country, the dissatisfaction with the way things, don't get it. Don't get the Tea Party. There's all kinds of accusations of racism and hatred and all of these things. That's not what it's all about. It's about things that are going on in this country that people are dissatisfied with. But it says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him." And I think about the attitude of many of the leaders in our land that just do not, they're so conceited and so proud of their ways. They cannot see that what people are actually dissatisfied with. I found something, I believe it was Sunday afternoon. I was looking at the news online, and I don't know if anybody else seen it, but there was a debate took place in a high school in Illinois, and the Women's League of Voters sponsored it. And I found this on Sunday while I watched a few minutes of Glenn Beck yesterday afternoon, and he had this on his show. So you know, these are things that you can go and find and see for yourself. But there was a debate going on, and somebody raised their hand, and they asked the moderator, they said, are we going to say the Pledge of Allegiance? And she said, no, we're not going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And she said, that's not on the that's not on the docket for the night. That's not on the program. And somebody yelled out, and they said, why not? And other people started saying, you know, why not? Why not? And you could see it. There's about 300 people in the auditorium there. And finally, somebody just stood up. Well, she said, no, we're not going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. She said, I'm not for it or against it, but we're not going to do it. And somebody stood up and started saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And everybody. And it was just a great little video to watch. And I seen that and I thought, that is great. You know, people are fed up with this conceited attitude from many of our leaders throughout the land that, you know, we're going to shove this down your throat and we don't care what you say. And I was so, I really enjoyed that clip. I would invite you to find it somewhere and look at it. It's all over YouTube and things like that. But it's just a good example of there's some in this country that are so wise in their own conceit. They're willing to do away with God or any reference to God. I've saw several instances lately of even Mr. Obama and others that have dropped the under God references to God out of historical papers that they were quoting from and things of this nature. And then I've talked about the removal of the Christian flag down in King, North Carolina. And one of the things one of the preachers said down there was he said, enough is enough. You know, we're tired of this trying to erase God from society, and enough is enough. And freedom of religion is not freedom from religion. You hear people talk about the separation of church, the wall of separation between church and state. And when we were down there in King last Saturday, Mr. Ron Beatty, he's a pastor from Winston-Salem. He has a ministry called Return America, and it is all about returning America to our Christian roots, our Judeo-Christian heritage, and guarding our Judeo-Christian heritage. And he talked in that in his time that he had, he talked about George Jefferson, when you hear people talk about the wall of separation between church and state, a lot of people think that that is found in the Constitution. That is not found in the United States Constitution. The First Amendment grants us freedom of religion in America, or talks about freedom of religion. That is a God-given right that we have to worship. And freedom of religion is not freedom from religion. That phrase, a wall of separation between the church and the state, came from a private letter by Thomas Jefferson to another individual. And in the mid-1900s, the Supreme Court lifted that out of his private letter and made the phrase something along the lines of thus maintaining a wall of separation between church and state. But that is not found in the United States Constitution. And Mr. Jefferson and our other founding forefathers, they never meant for there to be freedom from religion in the government or any reference to God or prayer. And Mr. Beatty told the historical story of how that a week after writing that letter and talking about the wall of separation between church and state, he got on his horse. He was president at that time. He got on his horse. He rode over a mile to the U.S. Capitol building where he went to church. At that time in America, there was a church, a Christian church in the U.S. Capitol building, a building paid for by taxpayers. At that time in Washington, D.C., it was the largest church in the Capitol. And people went to church in the U.S. Capitol building. They had hymnals that were paid for. Congress, they didn't have enough hymnals, so Congress authorized the purchase of hymnals to use in the church in the U.S. Capitol building. And Mr. Beatty made the reference to point out that Thomas Jefferson was not against God being mentioned in government. And he talked about how the United States Marine Choral Ensemble would come and sing the hymns. These were people that were being paid by taxpayers. And they came and they sang. And so it's not freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion. It's to keep the government out of the church, not the influence of the church or Christianity, prayer, or God out of government. We need God in our government. We need his blessing. We need his oversight. We need his help in all that we do. So I thought that was an interesting story that he told. And it was just a good time. We really enjoyed it. Got me excited. You know, it's hard to come back and tell other people, you know, I had a great time, if you weren't there. And Noah was there. He even said it was a good time and everything. We really enjoyed it. I preached on Sunday on the subject, why freedom fires me up. You know, I'm excited about freedom and liberty, and you know, that's a theme that I believe God's led me to continue on in my ministry. And I talk about it quite a bit, freedom, liberty, these things. In that message, I made 3 points. I'm going to just share a little bit with you something the Lord showed me while I was sitting there getting ready to preach. I was sitting there, and like, I don't know, I don't think I've ever been in a church where they didn't have the American flag and the Christian flag on the podium. It'd be very odd to go into a church. I mean, that is just a tradition. It is part of our heritage. Dave, what?
I grew up in a church that had the Christian flag and the American flag.
Yeah, I mean, and you, probably when you went to Bible school when you was little, you know, carrying the Christian flag, carrying the American flag.
I went to a private Christian school in Georgia, so we said the pledge to the Christian flag every day.
You know, that wasn't politically correct, but you did it anyway.
Yeah. It was a private school, so I could get away with it.
Yeah. Sunday's comic. Probably everybody thinks, does he read the Bible or the comics?
All you read comics,
both, yeah. But Peanuts, Sunday.
I didn't see it.
Charlie Brown, his wife Lucy, she comes to him.
Wait.
Not Lucy.
They're married?
No, Charlie Brown's sister.
Okay.
What's her name?
I hadn't read Charlie Brown in a while, but I don't know. Charlie's sister with the blonde hair?
The blonde hair, whatever her name is. Well, anyway, she comes to Charlie Brown.
What is it, Noah? I can't remember.
She comes to Charlie Brown and she says, come here, I got to tell you a secret. And they crawl through the house, they close the curtains, and they get down by the couch, and she gets up real close to Charlie Brown's ear, and she says, we prayed in school today.
Sally, that's her
name. Well, anyway. Freedom is very important to us. How in the world did I get off on that? But I preached on, he's talking about the American flag and the Christian flag. Being in church, it's part of our heritage. Anybody that goes to church, they're used to seeing that there. It does not. But I was sitting there getting ready to preach, and I was looking at the flags, and the Lord showed me something. I'd never really thought about it like I thought about it. But I was getting ready to preach on freedom. Why freedom fires me up. I brought out 3 things. Freedom is God's design, which means Thomas Jefferson didn't come up with freedom. God is the author of liberty and freedom. It is his unique idea. Just like marriage is ordained by God, it was God's idea. Where does the idea of marriage come from? It comes from God. It comes from the Bible. Same thing with liberty. Where does the idea come from? It doesn't come from America. It didn't come from the ancient Greeks. It didn't come from, it came from God. The idea of liberty is God's design. He made it. He meant for men to be free. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue it. And here it is. Here's the opportunity for your hopes, your dreams, and even the opportunity to fail. And they did fail. They sinned there in the garden. But God intended for them to be free. I said that freedom is God's desire. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and 36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And Christ came to set us free. his ministry began in Luke chapter number 4. And he went to the temple and he stood up and he read out of Isaiah chapter number 61, or out of the scroll, the law. And he read from that passage of scripture. I was just going to read a portion of that in Luke chapter number 4 and verse 18. The Bible said, "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written," this is Jesus in the synagogue, "he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.'" And so the first message that Jesus Christ preached when he was here upon the earth in his earthly ministry, it had to do with liberty, preaching liberty to those that were bound, to them that were bruised. And then he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So liberty is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that any preacher, the first message they ever preach, they're going to preach on the thing that is nearest and dearest to their heart. And so Jesus, in his first message, his first public standing before people and opening God's word, he read and he talked about liberty. So it's his desire, the Bible said, and Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And then I said, last of all, that freedom is God's destiny. And I was thinking about, as I was sitting there and I was looking, I was getting ready to get up and preach, and I was looking at the American flag, the Christian flag. I was thinking about all of these things. I was thinking about the destiny of our country, the pilgrims, when they came, they believed it was their manifest destiny. They believed that God led them to the new world. And they came, and it says in the Mayflower Compact, the reason they came to advance the Christian faith. They didn't come to get rich. They didn't come to find gold. They came to have religious freedom. They didn't have it in Holland. They didn't have it in England. First they started in England. Then they went to Holland. They didn't have it over there. And they'd heard about this place that had been discovered, and people were beginning to want to come to, and they came to America seeking religious freedom. And our land is a land of destiny. There's no accident that the freest church in the Bible and the freest nation in the world has the same name. The original capital of the United States was Philadelphia. And the freest church in the Bible is the church in Philadelphia in Revelation chapter number 3. To that church, Jesus said, "Behold, I've set an open door before you, and no man can shut it." What he was saying, they had more freedom than any other church, any other people at that time. They had freedom to get the gospel out. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is inscribed with Leviticus 25 and 10, which I quote when I come on many times. And it says in Leviticus 25 and 10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And so liberty is God's destiny. He desired all along that there would be a nation, a people that would literally be referred to as a Christian nation. And no other nation in the world has the history that America does. And that's why it's important not to allow the government, the ACLU, the powers that be, to erase the references to God out of our history. But I was sitting there getting ready to preach, and I was looking at the two flags. Told all that to tell this, and our time is quickly come and gone today. But I was looking at the two flags, and the thought came to my mind. A lot of people think that America gave religious freedom to Christianity. I'm sitting there looking at the two flags. But the Lord spoke to my heart, and he showed me something. That's not how it is. Christianity gave freedom to America. And if we ever let that Christian flag and what it stands for, God and his word, our Judeo-Christian heritage, if we ever let that fall, then the freedom, the religious freedoms that we have in this country will fall as well. Our country will fall as well. That Christian flag, what it stands for, what it represents, is of utmost importance. Christianity gave freedom. It is because of the Christians and the early Jews in our nation, the early Christians, early Jews, and their influence that we have religious freedom in America. And they were handing out the little pocket constitutions down in King last Saturday, and I got one. And I originally got mine when I was in the Air Force over 20 years ago. And I didn't even know they still made the little pocket constitution, but I got another one down there, and my son, and they were handing them out.
I got one in fifth grade.
You got one?
From Miss Steck.
Miss Stick?
Miss Steck.
Steck?
Steck.
And, but evidently they're still in print, and this is so important that we recognize our First Amendment rights. The Baptist people, they fought that there would be an amendment. They didn't think that it was clear enough that there would be religious freedom in America and there would never be a state church. And we're not talking about a state church, but we're talking about our Judeo-Christian heritage, how important that is. And if religious freedom goes in America, and I've seen some of this happen with my own eyes when I lived in England, there is another religion in the world that would love to come in and take over. And if it gains a foothold of power in a country, there will be no more religious freedom. And that is the religion of Islam. And in Holland, in England today, they have just about lost their religious freedom because they've let Islam gain such a foothold. And it is quickly gaining a foothold in our nation today. So we need to be aware of these things. We need to be careful about these things. I've lost the track of time.
We're a little under a minute.
I do want to tell you that this is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road. We've had several visitors throughout the summer that have heard us on the radio broadcast and came to the church, and we'd love for you to come and visit with us. You can go to our church website, which is mountlebanonbc.org, and you find that it's MTLEBANONBC.org. That has our contact information, directions. There's sermons on there. The radio broadcast is on there, and the service times and all of these things. So we'd love for you to come visit with us, and we appreciate the church sponsoring the program.
This is WATA Boone.